What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Final hour, fist pump time on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Thank you for making us a part of your morning. Hopefully, you're dodging the rain and the craziness out there on the roads. Going to try to get you to your weekend as quickly as possible. We're fist pumping on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube with Sean, RJ, Roberto, Pepe, and Carter on 105.3 The Fan. Nico Harrison can't escape it. Booed at the SMU basketball game last night. Close-up video of Patrick Dumont, the owner, walking to his seat alongside Mayor Johnson during the Rockets game, getting the boos and saying, are they booing me? Who? Me? Are you serious? 2 weeks for Daniel Gafford. No update. We're going on 3 days now of no follow-up medical update for Anthony Davis. Common sense would tell you that's really, really, really bad and probably worse than a month. Two weeks now for Gafford.
Yeah, and the quote that's floating around, I haven't had the it was Brantley on First Take yesterday. I haven't found the audio yet, but Brian Windhorst said that it's his understanding that he's probably going to avoid surgery for the rest of the year. But he also said he's going to be out for a while. So that was what Windhorst was hearing, what he was thinking. But, I mean, it's still wild that they told us, yeah, an update's coming. And then it's like, delay it.
The playoffs.
A reporter in, they're not going to make the playoffs.
Needed the schedule.
Reporter in Milwaukee says the Mavs attempted to trade Luka to the Bucks and T-Wolves. Reached out. Milwaukee made it clear they would not trade Giannis, even though his future there is murky. And Minnesota obviously would have to involve Anthony Edwards.
So I asked around about the guy that had that report, Gary or Jerry. I don't know which one it is. G-E-R-Y. G-E-R-R-Y can be either one, too. You never know. And I was told that this dude is, like, very, very plugged into the Bucks. So if it happens with the Bucks, he's extremely plugged in. Now, my question with this is, because Giannis's future is so up in the air there, if you have a chance to get Luka,
yeah,
why would you not have jumped at it?
I agree.
So I don't know. I was also told that the Anthony Edwards stuff doesn't make sense because the Mavs would have... They wouldn't want him. They wanted a big. They didn't want somebody who's a 6'5 guy to replace Luka scoring wise.
Wanted a big.
They wanted somebody bigger. They didn't want somebody who is.
By the way, did Luka shrink?
I mean, he
I thought Luka was 6'7, 6'8, and all I see now is 6'6, 6'5.
The Lakers introduced him as 6'7 the other day.
Did they?
Yeah. And I mean, they didn't introduce his weight probably because they didn't want to fat shame him because, as has been said, he's 270 pounds apparently. I bet the fact that they said no Giannis, I bet they think if they could get Luka there, they could keep Giannis. And so they were probably trying to go, we'll take something with Dame and like take Lillard.
Take Chris
back.
Middleton.
Yeah, take Lillard and Portis and picks or Lillard or like whoever that they're trying to like basically set something up along that line.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm curious as to how true and how much this actually would have fit in terms of like whether or not they would have done it. Milwaukee would have done it. And then how serious were these talks? Was it like over coffee and saying, hey, you know, if you're going to...
Hey, the coffee talk was deadly serious.
It was. But if you're going to move on from Giannis, what would it take? You know, just like, I think GMs just have those conversations with other GMs all the time.
By the way, have you shared, I don't think you have yet, have you shared on air yet what that Tolo tweeted you their nickname for Nico is that you want to take? Oh,
that's right. Sneeko.
Sneeko Harris. Sneeko. So good.
Isn't that good?
That's so good.
Sneeko Harrison. That's a great, great Tolo.
Did you think the Dumont reaction when you mentioned him getting booed, did you think that was like, I'm so surprised? Or did you think it was more like defiant, like you're going to boo me?
No, I think he was surprised.
I do too.
But I'm afraid of his response to all this being even more defiant.
Like you're not going to tell me what to do.
Like, I'm worried this
raise prices.
I'm worried this reaction is not causing them it's not going to cause him to back off. That's my, I don't know anything. I have no basis to say that. I'm just guessing. Well, my basis is his attitude and tone Sunday morning with the Dallas Morning News. Spittle texted, because Jake Rietma came in here and said he was trying to go to the Warrior game tonight, but tickets are still so expensive. Spittle texted and said, you can see the game online tonight. Usually with Golden State, it's a premium ticket. Lots of tickets for sale. My friend put up his for resale. They would normally go quick. He had to keep lowering them to the point as if they were playing Charlotte. A lot of tickets are up on the resale market. And by the way, Rietma, if he goes, let's judge his shirt of whether he'd be tossed and thrown out.
Oh, he's getting thrown out if he wears
if
that.
If he goes as a fan or a media member?
Fan.
What's
the shirt say?
It says worst trade in history.
It says I witnessed the worst trade in NBA history. I don't think that
if
would
he get, got. What's that? I'm sorry.
I don't think it would get tossed.
I don't think so either. Did they toss for that?
Yeah, I don't think it would get tossed. Because, plausible, I'm not talking about this. Doesn't say Mavs on it.
Yeah.
What?
They're not going to toss him for that shirt.
Now we've got to get him in. Because he's got to wear it just so we can settle
as this. As a media member, once Gavin and Tim approve his press pass, he's not going to wear that shirt. But if he went as a fan, I'm interested what would happen.
I'm going to make Peyton, give Peyton that shirt. Make him, I'll buy his ticket. He can walk in there tonight with it.
Buy it to Rietma's. Rietma wants to go.
How many, is he going by himself?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I will.
You can probably get a single ticket real cheap. A single?
So Mavs Warriors tonight, the Mavericks have now turned the crowd watch into the biggest reason to watch them. That's mine. Wait,
I'm sorry. You spelled only wrong.
What?
The only reason.
The only reason.
The only reason.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's hurt.
Except for Kyrie.
We're all disenfranchised fans at this point.
Yep.
There's no, I mean, the amount of fans that probably have lost the love for the game, just like the enjoyment. You can't enjoy it right now.
With all this bad will, it is a little surprising that they offer the $2,000 refund for those canceling the season tickets with this apparent screw you mentality.
Did that get confirmed too? Because remember that tweet got put out and then it got deleted and I didn't see
it?
Yeah, she deleted that.
Oh.
Yeah, she deleted the next day, but she had also had a follow-up tweet where she said, this is what a couple of fans who had that refund offered them told her. So she said, it's not across the board. Or it may be, but she doesn't have confirmation on it.
And the Lakers are going to keep it rolling. They get the benefit tonight of the Utah back-to-back, the team that was kept out of the trade somehow, some way, but still included. So Luka and LeBron, I think normally they'd rest on a back-to-back before the All-Star break, but I think they're both going to play, I hope they do, against the Jazz. So Mavs and Lakers in action. How can Nico possibly save this?
Save it without winning a title.
Oh, without winning a title?
Can he save it without winning a title?
Luka has to become Anthony Davis injury-wise or go into a treatment facility for drinking.
Yeah, so
that's serious. That's it.
I have four ways that he could salvage this. Well, I have four options. You tell me.
I'm willing to give you titles to include in your argument, and I don't think people would text
no.
It could be saved.
I agree. All right, number one.
And you want to do it without a title?
Let's just say, look, because the reality is that they're not going to win a title. Most likely.
Like, well, it's not the overwhelming reality.
Their odds went down with the trade, though. Their odds of winning a title, I think, went down.
But many analysts said they were better and number two in the West.
Still, even
I'm not saying that's a fact.
Right. Even the Thunder, though, who are thought of as the best in the West, have less than a 50% chance of winning a title. So, like, the odds are saying you're never going to win one. So, option one, you never win a title, but Luka signs back here after his contract is up.
Yes, that'd be like LeBron going back to Cleveland.
Trading, yeah, or like you traded Aroldis Chapman at the deadline, and 2 months later he was back with the Yankees. Okay.
I think that would have to be under a new regime.
It would.
I think Luka's that vengeful, and I don't blame him.
He would have cost him the Supermax, so he's never going to do that. He's going to sign back here for $116 million less than he would have. Number two, Luka does not re-sign in L.A., and he signs with Denver, which was the concern everyone had to begin with.
Not everyone, me. My theory all along that Luka and Joker were going to be together.
But that was the big scare, right? That he was going to go to Denver, or he wanted to play with Joker at some point anyway.
How would that save Nico?
Because that would indicate they were going to lose him either way.
Oh.
But does it definite? That just says that he didn't want to be in L.A. It doesn't say he didn't want to be in Dallas.
No, you're right. It doesn't. It's just you got to.
Okay, but so.
Yeah, I connect the dots a little bit.
Someone that I trust, said like Luka leaving was a real possible thing. That his family was urging him to go team up with another big-time star like the Joker. And Nico referenced that, could have been trying to save face, but referenced that in the press conference, the one that he did show up for, and said, we wanted to get ahead of a possible very tumultuous summer. So we may be letting Luka 1,000% completely off the hook that he was just going to stay here no matter what. All signs point to him staying here, including him laughing at not signing the Supermax.
All right, next one. Luka never makes the conference finals as long as Anthony Davis is still here.
I don't think that saves him at all because he already did it here. He already did it here. He got to the conference finals and he got to the NBA finals. Him not doing it in LA doesn't stop anybody from feeling happy about it.
I agree. I don't think he does anything. And then finally, Luka becomes even fatter than he already is and essentially becomes Zion / Oliver Miller.
That would help.
Would it? But see, here's what I started thinking. Does it help, or do people start going like, look how much you depressed it?
Yeah,
you
made him up.
So. Oh, yeah.
That is how this, they will absolutely say he was that devastated and he got out of shape. And that's, I'll tell you what's good more likely. Lord. What's more likely?
Talking about making excuses for somebody.
For any one of these to salvage him, or that Kyrie goes, you know what, screw you, I'm going to LA too.
Oh, Kyrie's leaving.
If that happens, if Kyrie goes to LA, Nico immediately is done in the city. He's done.
You think Kyrie leaves when his deal's up, or he'll force his way out?
Is it? Can he opt out after this year?
He's got an opt out. Yeah. I think he's done.
I think he is too.
Oh my gosh, people were all.
I think you are going to see. We should look up who's free after this year. Because I think you are going to see an absolute exodus. That's the word I was searching for. I think Kyrie's definitely gone.
I mean, how pissed is Clay?
Oh, yeah, because you got to imagine, Clay was convinced to leave home to come do this. Opt out. So you've got
player option.
Kyrie Irving, Dwight Powell. Well, we know Dwight will be gone. Yep. He's going to be a future Laker. And then Dante Exum, Spencer Dinwiddie, they're free agents after this year. So, I mean, it's going to be, gosh, if Kyrie goes to L.A. did you see everybody getting all emotional? When Kyrie was named to the All-Star game yesterday, Luka shared it on his Instagram story
and said,
congratulations, mi hermano.
Yeah.
And there was, oh my gosh, they're not over each other. People were sharing clips of Kyrie after the Hornets game talking to media, and they're like, you can tell in his voice, he's still devastated.
All right, so let's make it a title thing. I think this is actually impossible to answer in the moment of what could save Nico. They win a championship in the next 3 years. And Luka never ends up with one in L.A.
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
You got to look. I mean, I think the Mavs would win two titles to salvage it personally.
Two?
Yeah, I don't think one's enough because theoretically this team was good. They were in the NBA Finals last year. They were good enough. You got to win two.
469 brings up an interesting point, though. Like when we talk about, he's got to break down. Specifically, what if he breaks down because of the calf injuries and he tears his Achilles? And if his Achilles is torn, and because the Achilles be torn, it's like, well, that would have happened in Dallas. That there's no other way you can say that wasn't going to happen if he tears, because he's had calf injuries.
Trying to give him more of an excuse for tearing his Achilles than depressed eating and drinking.
Well, because that one is different. Whereas the calf injuries, he's had four calf injuries in 3 years.
His body needs to break down.
He's got to break down to try
to save Nico.
He's gotta be Zion.
He's got to be Zion.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to eat his way out of the league.
Anthony Davis wins two titles here. and Luka wins none, that would be pretty much it. And I still don't know if that would totally cover it. People would still be mad that you could have gotten more.
Over, under, Nico here in 2.5 years.
Under.
2.5, I think it'll be here. I think
1.5, Bobby.
It's about right there. Because, I mean, you got the rest of the half of the season and then all of next season. And then the season after that, you might be looking at, all right, well, Kyrie's left town. And it's gotten awkward.
People were talking like he was here for the short term anyway. Someone from D Magazine. Yeah. I don't know how much I believe it.
Yeah, because, he had said something in that thing, like 3 years anyway. So I would say, I'll say over the 1.5. Over the 1.5. I don't know that, like, if Dumont fires him, he's already... That may be the only way for him to kind of get back in the good graces of the fan base after this. Maybe it.
I've just never seen a team wreck their public image with their city as fast.
So bad. It's so bad.
Like, are you that much worse than Dolan and Snyder? This is a different comparison because this is so quick.
Yeah, the difference is Dolan and Snyder never traded a generational player.
Well, Snyder traded Champ Bailey.
Yeah, but got Clinton Portis.
Portis, which, I mean, running back, but yeah. Well,
Champ's not generational, but yeah. But people were excited about Clinton Portis as well.
The problem is he became Dolan, or like you mentioned, it's how quick it was. He became Dolan or Snyder overnight. Like,
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dolan and Snyder, like, got there over time. Like, he's become them like that in a week.
Dak says the Cowboys aren't that far away from filthy, and how low are they in the up-to-date NFL early season power rankings? Next on Sean and RJ, along with a college baseball ticket giveaway next. Crosstalk with a KMC masterpiece coming up at 9:40 here on 105.3 The Fan. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Cowboys insider Bobby Bell with you. If the Cowboys can beat the Eagles during the regular season, does that mean they're close to the Super Bowl? My answer is no. Dak Prescott at his annual charity event alongside Troy Aikman was asked about the gap between us and them.
I mean, I feel like we compete with the Eagles and beat them for the most part when we played them. I don't want to say check the record when they're the guys holding the trophy right now. So credit to them. They've earned and they deserved it by all means. But, yeah, very close, especially even watch the NFC game, the NFC championship. And those two teams that we battle against each and every year a couple of times. And, as I said, feel confident about we've gotten the better part each and every time. To see it in such a dominating fashion, credit to them. It's our turn and it's on us.
It's our turn. It's on us. Very close. And just look at the NFC Championship game with how we play Philly and Washington. All those things can be true, but it still does not have me believing the second part that they're close.
Well, look, I'll just take Kentucky basketball, for example, because they played last night. Kentucky has 5 wins this year over top 10 teams. All right. Just because you can beat top 10 teams doesn't mean you're good or great or close.
It should mean it.
It should. What it means is that you play up to your competition. Like, Kentucky lost to Clemson this year. Clemson's, you know, they're a good team, but they're not great. They lost to Ohio State. Ohio State's not great. They lost to Georgia. Georgia kind of stinks. They lost to Vandy. Vandy's on a bubble. They lost to Arkansas. Arkansas probably maybe is left out of the NCAA tournament. But they've beaten Florida, number 3 in the nation. They've beaten Tennessee twice. They beat Gonzaga, who was a top 7 team. They beat Duke. Duke has been running over everybody. So they've played well against top competition, but they've fallen asleep. And yeah,
but,
sure.
But like, do the Cowboys fall asleep? They usually beat the teams they're supposed
to. They usually do, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, the Cowboys could play well. Just because you play well against certain teams doesn't mean that you're there. Because you still have to go through 17 weeks. And yeah, like when you're 7-10, I generally think when you're 7-10.
And they're not. That's not a real 7-10, by the way. I have a humongous disagreement with Bobby on this. I'm not judging you for a lot of the Cooper Rush games. Sorry. In order
so
for
you think they're better. Than 7-10. Yes. Yeah, I generally agree with that. Because, you know, you can talk about close games, like they win close games. I mean, Washington won a ton of close games. How many one-score games did the Commanders win this year?
A lot, but I guess on the 7-10, why weren't they better when he was in there then?
Because I have to allow a little bit of room, too, for your team to get better throughout the year. I was the first one to say, I'm firing McCarthy because of the beginning of the year, because I had seen 4 years of kind of that. Mm-hmm. I knew after 5 years, but we do have to allow for like you sorting it out and improving and figuring it out, in my opinion, throughout the year. In order for you to say they're still 7-10, then you would have to, and I don't want to fight before I go on vacation here, but you would have to like not think there's a tremendous difference between Cooper Rush and Dak Prescott. I feel like Bobby Bell in this scenario. Give credit to your boy, the $60 million quarterback, right, over the career backup.
And almost every team struggles at the beginning of the year because they don't do anything at training camp and they don't play in preseason.
Let me be clear. I'm not letting the Cowboys off the hook and saying, oh, Cowboys got screwed. They're much better. They're not much, much better. But I'm not thinking of them as a. I'm not judging you with Cooper Rush. Right. I have that rule with every team and every backup quarterback. And you would have to think that there's a, you know, real close comparison.
And Micah has said it, and he's absolutely right. Every game is determined by about four or five plays.
Okay, but that's exactly.
They didn't get unlucky this year.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't. But in the beginning of the year, how much of the beginning of the year was the change in defense? If Dan Quinn never leaves and he stays, if he never gets a head coaching job and he stays, I don't think their defense is as bad in the first four games as it would
No, but here's the deal. They're 7-10 team regardless because Dak on the field, here are the games they lost while Dak was out, and Dak's not making a difference. They lose 34-6 to Philly. They're not winning that game. They lose 34-10 to Houston. I don't think Dak is making a 24-point difference in that game.
But it's not totally fair to just give that other team that point total because you're going to have different possessions, time of possession. It's not exactly.
But I don't think they're beating Philly. I don't think they're beating Houston. I don't think they're beating Cincinnati. I don't think they're beating Philly again at the end of the year. And then the other
end up Cincy by seven.
No, I know, but like, I mean, that was just in general, they played well that game. It's not like they were super missing. It's not like Dak goes in there. I don't think it makes like this tremendous difference because they played well overall and they got beat. But like, to me, it's like you look down that list. I think they swing maybe the last game of the season against Washington if he plays. Like, they would have already been eliminated by that point. So I don't know if it makes a difference.
All right. So back to the point.
Look, I think that, you know, when you're set, like, the whole point was, yeah, they play. Just because you could play well against Philadelphia, that doesn't mean that you're going to be there. But again, I still think when you're 7-10, you're a handful of plays away from. I mean, you could easily see them the next year being 10-7.
Are you definitely locking them into third in the East? Pick. I mean, this is before draft. Yeah. Free agent. Are you
as of now? They're third.
They're third.
Yep.
Okay.
Easy to me.
Easy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Where do the way too early offseason power rankings have the Cowboys?
Well, it's not looking good for your Dallas Cowboys, but they've gone up a little bit. They've gone up a little bit from where they were at the end of the year. So at the end of the year, most people had them around 21, 22. They're not quite that bad. But the end of the or the way too early power rankings from ESPN have the Cowboys 18th in the NFL. They are sandwiched right between the Pittsburgh Steelers at 17 and then at 19. I don't know how fair this is. It's the Atlanta Falcons. In fact, the team's directly behind Dallas. I don't know that you can make a strong case right now. Dallas is better than. It's Atlanta, it's Miami, it's Arizona. Those are three teams that I think have a case to say we were better than you and we've got a better outlook heading into next season.
I think they, I mean, I think
early
all
on Penix.
Very early on Penix. It's a make or break for McDaniel and Tua.
Yes.
Most likely.
And they're better. They'll have a better record than Arizona. They just lose the individual matchup to Arizona.
Right. Yeah, they'll get beat.
Arizona's got some good, like, Arizona's got a decent outlook here. Like, a lot of their peripherals say that that's a team that's got a chance to contend.
Go top year. Down in order. I'll make the argument of who the Cowboys should
be. Do you want me to go
over.
Just behind Dallas?
No, one.
Okay, from number one, this is the rankings from ESPN. Number one on the list is the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. This is the rankings for next year.
Whoa.
Number two, the Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
Number three, the Detroit Lions. Well, I know. We haven't even gotten the Super Bowl.
Who's ranking
yet.
These?
This is ESPN.
I know, but who?
It's their beat writers.
Is it Stare Straight Ahead Graziano?
No, it's their NFL. It's a panel of 80 writers, editors, and TV personalities that cover the NFL.
Philly might have a lot of guys that are leaving. I don't know.
They always replace, but it's Kansas City 1, Buffalo 2, Detroit 3, Philly 4. Number five, Baltimore, who shares Vegas has Baltimore and the Chiefs with the best odds to win the Super Bowl next year tied. And so number five is Baltimore. Six, the Washington Commanders. Seven, the Green Bay Packers. Eight, the Los Angeles Chargers. You stop me when you hear a team that you're like, no.
I could argue the Cowboys are the same or better than the Chargers on a given day.
Nine, the Cincinnati Bengals.
No.
Ten, the Minnesota Vikings.
Yes, I could. Who's the quarterback?
Well, they were 14-3 with Darnold.
Yeah, but
we saw the last two games.
It's McCarthy, I would assume, next year.
Yeah, so I can argue that they're better with the J.J. unknown, and I don't like J.J. McCarthy as a prospect.
11.
I need them to be better, so I'm right.
11, the Texans.
No. They could beat the Texans on a given day, but I'll pick Houston.
12, the Rams.
Where's Stafford? Where's Cup?
A lot of question marks. They could be. They. I could have them better than the Rams next year.
13, the 6-11 San Francisco 49ers.
Nope.
Who Jed York said absolutely not yesterday. John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are not going anywhere. Those guys are here for the long term.
No, I'll never put the Cowboys above them.
14. By the way, you can get really good value on San Fran to win the title.
Really? What?
It's in the, I think it's like 15-1.
15?
14.
It's not enough for me.
The Denver Broncos.
No, they're, that's
Sean Payton's carried them.
Go ahead, Chop. Why? Why not?
They were terrible this year. They were, what was it, 1-6 against teams that had a winning record?
Should have been 2-5 if not for the shenanigans against the Chiefs, but
I'll take Dallas barely.
15, the Seattle Seahawks, who every year seem to be 9-10 win team.
Dallas.
Sorry, San Fran's 18-1.
16, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Even.
Man,
I believe in Baker now. Not like that he's going to win a Super Bowl, but that they can be even with us. What were you saying, RJ?
I like Baker. Baker's turned into, I mean, he's going to be
good for him.
He is going to be the poster child for teams that want to get rid of their quarterback early.
I will say, by the way, for all the chatter at the time where people were like, it doesn't matter what you're saying about Baker. I can already hear Carter Freeman behind the glass right now saying all the concerns about him as a leader. It was not until he kind of shut his mouth and learned to be a leader that his play started to stabilize. And that's why people care about
this. But isn't this the whole Luka thing? Like, it comes with growth. It comes with age.
Right. You get to that point. But the idea was, it's a question right now because he did.
Sure.
Jaden Daniels had it right away. Baker didn't, and you had to project out. 17, last team ahead of them, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I think the Cowboys are better.
Yeah, I can make the case. We already beat them.
We already beat them on the field.
We already beat them. we'll see if they get Aaron Rodgers or not. So, no, I can make the case that the Cowboys can get up to about 11. How about that?
How about that?
And that's not crazy.
No, it's not crazy.
You can say last year's an aberration. You can say last year's a fluke.
It's all got to click. It's all got to click for them to even climb up there. And that's just before we obviously see if they add anybody. They could add players that were like, oh, no, they're significantly better now. And they could knock out the... Ashton Jeanty could fall to them. They could have a draft. They could have a CeeDee Lamb Diggs type draft that like goes, oh my gosh, they rescued all this. But
if you believe that they're legitimately 18, Bobby, does that answer the Micah resign question? Or no, because you can get back in the NFL so quickly and he's only 25.
Yeah, to me, it's like you can cycle it back so quickly. Like, I mean, Chop says it all the time where he's like, Philadelphia won a Super Bowl, rebuilt, and won another Super Bowl. Like, I mean, you can turn it around pretty quickly. Dallas turned it 29. They were a consistent contender. Garrett got fired. They went 6-10, and then they were back to being a 12-win team like that.
Dak on how the Cowboys offense can help turn it around under their new head coach.
Honestly, I mean, I think he spoke on it in the press conference, right? And then following this year, we've just got to get to running the ball, being a little bit more, you know, consistent on that. And then from there, go back and look at the numbers. I've always enjoyed play action pass, so just being able to get back to that. But you got to start with the run game, and when you have that, the rest of the offense can open up.
Sound like Mike McCarthy all over again while kicking Kellen out the door. We're here to run the damn football. So there's Dak.
Yeah, you know, it's the more and more we just hear from people when they're talking, it sounds like they were just doing a solid on the way out the door about like, oh yeah, we want him back. Yeah, we want him back. It sounds like everybody afterwards goes, yeah, it was time for a change. Something wasn't right last
year. Are you taking that from Dak's comments?
No, I'm just saying in general, like you just clearly heard he's definitely more in line with Schottenheimer's philosophy than Mike's.
All right, let's crosstalk with the fellas. It's the KMC Masterpiece to finish up the Hump Day edition of Sean and RJ next. Crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece starts right now with the entire crew. Corey Majors, good morning. What is coming up?
Oh, no. Is this like the dog adoption?
I don't have a run sheet right now.
Yeah.
The Schloss.
By the way,
we have Schloss.
Chops is still available. The Dallas Animal Services.
We have Schloss today.
Yeah, this is the last thing I contribute to a guest.
The dog?
I mean, you could still, wanted to.
Who? No.
Jim Schlossnagel.
Oh, yes. Schlossnagel.
You pronounce traitor wrong.
He's a TCU traitor.
Well, I was going with the A&M, but he's a two-timer.
All right, give Kevin your funeral conundrum.
All right, so I have a couple conundrums, one of which is the speech that my mom is trying to, you know, overlord her power on. Little does she know that I'm the new patriarch of the family, Kevin, and I'm in charge.
She's trying to manage your eulogy?
Well, look, I have a joke in there that she somehow found, and she doesn't care for it. I said, my dad is the only Italian who couldn't get a tan, even his ashes are white. She doesn't appreciate that. You like that?
That's a funny. That is a funny joke.
What else did you have in there?
Can you read it?
Yeah, I can read it for you.
Like, but at least he wasn't alive to see Luka get traded to the Lakers.
That's a good one.
Yeah, you just found out about Chop's dad.
Yeah, I honestly did. I was like, hey, your dad's dead.
But you know, also like, what do I wear? I want to wear like dress jeans, boots, like a dress shirt. I don't want to wear a suit.
I swear to God, this is a serious question. What are dress jeans?
That's a good question.
Like dark jeans.
Jeans without holes in them.
Usually it's dark washed and I feel like not baggy. So like you're just talking about slimmer fit dark washed jeans.
Okay.
Are
you being told you have to wear a suit by your mom?
I think I'm being peer pressured in. You know, I would totally wear my dad, when he was a baseball coach, as you know, when he coached like us as a kid,
sure,
he wore baseball pants. I could wear baseball pants.
In honor of your dad.
In honor of him.
Okay.
But the sons are both wearing suits.
My kids are wearing suits.
And
so
why is that? Because they know how to.
Oh, okay. So I can't be like more underdressed than my children.
Fact.
Right, I would really look like, as my dad would say, Bubba Luke.
Yeah.
At that point.
I don't.
You guys have any special funeral requests that you have thought about for yourself? Like what to do afterwards, the party. You want it lighthearted? Are you going to have a reception? How short? How attire? Like TNP had us all dressed in Hawaiian gear. What have you thought about?
I want my funeral to be crushingly sad. I have multiple songs that I've selected, and at times...
Name two.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're floating in space.
Mm. Cheeseburger in Paradise.
Not Cheeseburger in freaking Paradise.
Is it?
Funeral.
Come Monday.
Or My Weakness by Moby. And I want just like...
Moby!
I just want sad music to play over like a montage of pictures and videos of me. I want people to be crushingly sad.
I want Jack FM to play that whole
playlist. Corey, is he playing Moby because of how big his thing is?
Whoa.
Wow.
Jeez. How do you guys feel about Jimmy Buffett?
There you go.
He has a... He's talked about it
before.
He's
passed away, right? He passed away.
It's huge.
Okay. Yeah, I saw him in concert. He's pretty good. Not my favorite. I can't listen to him in the winter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just relaxing music. Yeah,
it's relaxing a beach music.
Just a relaxing way to listen.
You want to take a load off.
Why do you ask? Okay, so yesterday, so that's my answer to your funeral question.
Let me go around the room real quick.
Okay.
And Corey, have you thought about anything specific?
From a funeral, three bottles on top of a countertop or whatever, and put my ashes right next to it, come say something. Take a shot, have some fun.
Of the ashes?
You clink the thing?
Yeah, on my urn.
Cheers.
Just a pile of ashes.
Cheers
on
the urn. Yeah. Or take a shot out of the urn.
I got some buddies.
It could be the top could be for liquid like the Stanley Cup.
Tomorrow tomorrow is the 29-year anniversary of All Eyes on Me being released, the Tupac album. And Tupac, when he died and they cremated him, the Outlaws, his little hip-hop group, they mixed him with marijuana and they smoked him.
What?
Yep.
Oh.
Not bad.
Okay. All right, Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, so we were going over the Rangers promotional schedule, and there's a lot of great stuff in there. Josh Young, World Series replica ring. And I was like, hey, and then September 20th is Margaritaville night, so you can see who's at the game and know who to cut out of your life. And little did I know that Corey and Mike had very strong feelings about Jimmy Buffett, and they barraged me with like 7 minutes of Jimmy Buffett content.
Jimmy Buffett's
pretty
great,
impressive.
Man.
Yeah. Not bad. I mean, I look again.
You
I can only
put your
listen
toes
to
in the water and your ass in the sand. Put some Jimmy Buffett on.
Hmm. Can't listen to him 12 months a year. This today on a day like today,
it's not sunny and happy.
I can't listen to Pirate Looks at 40.
You have to be already a little drunk to turn on Jimmy Buffett. I don't think you can turn on Jimmy Buffett sober.
Are you guys buying the Luka report about Milwaukee and Minnesota?
I hadn't heard the Minnesota one.
This is from a guy in Milwaukee who said they called about Giannis, and then he's just assuming that they called and Anthony Edwards would have to be included.
The Giannis one makes a lot of sense. I could see why Minnesota would.
Would you rather have Anthony Edwards or Anthony Davis?
I would rather have Anthony Edwards.
Turn on your mic.
Anthony Edwards in a heartbeat, not even close.
Isn't he 24? City would rally around him, too. They would love Anthony Edwards here.
Yeah,
he's got
totally
that
different
attitude and that swag that if he's not on your team, you hate it. But if he is, you're like, that's my guy.
But we'd still be full of rage.
I'm sure.
They not get
as
over mu- it quicker.
No, not as much. I would understand. You're trading for, I believe he's 1 year younger than Luka. He is going to make a little bit less money than Luka. He doesn't have all the first team NBAs to get the Supermax yet. He could. That doesn't mean he won't, but he could. I would
He'll probably be the face of the league, too.
I totally get changing to Anthony Edwards and going, I know that Kai only has 2 or 3 years left in the league, but like I get putting those two together and then making more sense. So if you did it straight up for Anthony Edwards, straight up, no first round pick, nobody else, I could understand that more than getting
Watch basketball.
Getting a 32-year-old. Ooh, yeah.
Would you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would understand getting Anthony Edwards straight up for Luka more than getting Anthony Davis in a first round pick. And I get why they did it. It's to destroy this franchise and to make the Lakers better.
Not just watch basketball. Would you, if they would have traded for Anthony Edwards, would you have gone to a Mavericks game at some point this year to watch him?
Maybe.
Would you have traded all your Luka cards?
Yes, I was going to sell those before he even got traded to the Mavs. Get traded to the Lakers. I didn't know he was getting traded. I was just like, you know, he's not really. This is weird because I am mad about this because you should have got everything.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know if he's my guy. He's not my style of player. I'm not loving this NBA. I'm not loving the way the NBA is played anymore. So I was like, why don't I get into players? I love Patrick Mahomes. I love Dirk Nowitzki. I love Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan. Why don't I collect more of the guys that I truly love and were my heroes rather than, he is on my team.
It's business decisions, right?
I don't really collect for business.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I mean, it helps when you make money.
Yeah.
I would say I've lost money collecting cards, especially after what happened to me.
Did you see Nico get booed at the SMU game?
So I actually knew about that because of Mike, and he came in and, well, I don't know if it's okay to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
He came in and said, SMU is my new favorite. And I was like, oh, why? Because I guess I had not seen that. And
yeah.
That's a wealth on wealth crime, like going after
there were little
DuMont
kids doing
and Nico.
It too.
And then DuMont went to his seat the other day in the close-up video, and he's like, are they booing me?
He like turned to was more surprised, or Taylor Swift was more surprised when they got
booed? DuMont looked more surprised. Okay.
Good question.
Swift was,
Swift almost looked like she was surprised she was being put on camera, I think, partially. Oh. Like, why am I being shown up here right now in the stadium?
Did you hear my second apron theory, impossible excuse for the Mavericks that was quickly rejected by the fellas?
Assuming you have no follow-up questions.
I reject all aprons.
You did?
I did.
Okay. Mike, second apron excuse at all? Huh?
That's a good reason to do it?
Not a good reason. The reason. Oh, now, there are only four or five teams in the apron. So my question was, if all these other billionaires, Steve Ballmer's not in it, the Lakers are not in it,
Hasn't Ballmer been paying a major taxes the first year in like 5 years? He hasn't paid a major tax to the NBA.
So it's just a reset.
Yes.
Yeah.
What you got to do, you got to reset every now and then.
But my question was, all right, if all these other billionaires are not in it, how long do we have to expect this new ownership to be in it? And then number two, if
they haven't even been in it yet.
Yeah, well, just let me ask the questions, and then you can answer it.
You were 3 years away from this being a problem. I understand what you're saying. It wasn't next year that it was going to be a problem. I hear what you're saying. You're making it sound like, and maybe I'm not hearing you right, you're making it sound like next year, the next NBA season, the Mavericks were in big trouble financially with salary. They were not.
I'm just saying, if these other teams are not in the, if they have a mandate of no second apron.
Okay.
That doesn't kick in next year. Number one, how long should you have to be in the apron? And number two, if that's the mandate, was this the right team building move? Would you ever have Luka and lesser roster, or paying AD less than Luka and what you think is a better surrounding talent?
I got an easy answer. Kyrie Irving's a free agent if he wants to be trade him.
That was Bobby's answer.
That's the thing. They chose Kyrie over Luka. That was like troubling.
If that's your issue, and then trade Daniel Gafford, who's probably going to make about $30 million. Not next year. He's still at like $13 million. But then the next year, he's probably going to get like a four-year, $120 million contract from somebody.
Because Draymond is speculating that not only is that the reason this happened, but this is going to cause other moves like this with teams not wanting to supermax commit. Because that was the reason for the apron rules, to not allow Steve Ballmer Adelson to just buy everyone.
I don't know who the player is offhand, but I'm just
throwing it out as a devil's advocate.
Yeah, I'm curious why they wouldn't trade for somebody whose contract comes off the books after this year and then load up with draft picks, because obviously that will be cheap, or yeah, trade Kyrie. That would be my thought. So I don't know.
It's also like, to me, you know, you don't, if you're in sports to make money year over year, you're probably in the wrong business. Like, it's
the money is made when you sell the team.
Yeah, it's a loss leader. Like,
I disagree with that, by the way. Just as a player, there's no way the smartest 0.1% of billionaires are buying a team to lose money for 10 to 20 years and then make money 20 years later.
Okay,
you have owners who may never want to sell.
And they may not make a lot. They may make like a fraction of their money.
Is it like a mortgage? You're paying in the house and you're losing, but then you sell it and you sell it for $300,000.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, Mike. You don't necessarily believe that some or all of the books we see are accurate.
Oh, they're not. They don't consider. They don't count.
Why wouldn't they show it?
Yeah.
Yeah. How many teams don't count their concessions?
I mean, my dad, who worked in finance for a while, he understands. Like, I don't have that education.
Yeah.
You do certain things, whether it's tax-wise or whatever, to prove that you didn't make money, but it's all book numbers. It's not real numbers. There's
like
no way.
NFL salary cap, for sure.
There's just no way that, like Jerry Jones, if we're saying this, Jerry Jones shouldn't have any money yet. He should only have he spent all his money on the Cowboys. How does he have the yacht? How does he have the houses? Right. How does he have all these things if literally he can only make money until he sells the team?
Yeah, they're making money. It's just like they're not maximizing the profits like they might with a regular business. I don't think you can run sports like a regular business.
I agree.
If you want to win, Cuban said about it, if you want to win, you've got to be prepared to potentially lose money year after year.
Yeah. The KMC Masterpiece coming at you next right here on 105.3 The Fan.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.